Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbites. Yes, indeed, I have gone back to being an Italian. I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And we are taking your calls. You heard the numbers already. In the 585 area code, it's 222-1180. On the Choice One toll-free line, it's 800-295-1180. And your Verizon Wireless customers, you can call in at star 1180. So we're going to get to the phones in just a couple of minutes, so give us a call. Rob Linton is standing by, in fact, answering phones even as we speak. But first, let's start with the news. Dave?
Hey, and to nobody's surprise, Microsoft is out with another patch.
Unbelievable.
Just like most of their products, you know, everybody's sitting back waiting for the code to come out, and then they sit there and say, hey, I'll wait for the first patch. Well, your first patch for XP Office is finally out there. It's called SP1, and it's a lot of updates and corrections to original code, so hopefully things will run a little smoother, although I still have a lot of folks that still use some of the old Office products, you know, Office 97 and everything else, and folks are still wondering, should I really switch? It's a hard call. You know, I mean, if your office environment, you know, is just doing word processing and day-to-day stuff, no, you don't need all of it.
Right. So, and this is Office XP, not
yes.
XP itself.
Right. Just the Office XP has the SP1 update. You can go up to the Microsoft website and download it, and you should be good to go.
Excellent. Steve, what's going on in the Apple world?
Well, Apple this week released a patch to the iPod. Apparently there's a problem. If you let the battery get too low, it won't wake up again, which usually happens.
You know, I have that problem.
Memory? Is it burned in memory on it? Or?
There's an actual battery. Lithium ion, I believe it is. But if the battery gets too low, it won't wake up. And then after you try charging it, it still won't wake up. It gets into a too deep a sleep. So Apple has released a patch on their website yesterday that you can download to fix the problem. And if your iPod is asleep and won't wake up, the suggestion is to try the reset, which is to hold down the menu button and the play button for 10 seconds, and that should do a deep reset. Wake it up without losing any of your songs.
My wife would like to reset me sometimes.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly mine, too, particularly when I'm in deep sleep.
Yeah.
So if you find your iPod in REM mode,
yeah,
you can download it. Now, here's an interesting problem, though, right? Because a lot of people have been talking about putting their iPods on PCs.
Mm-hmm,
this
right.
patch won't. This is a Mac native patch.
There is a company, Media4, who are known for their Mac Drive software that lets a PC read Macintosh hard drives. They are releasing a program initially called XPod, and Apple's lawyers contacted them. Now it's called XPlay, and we're waiting for Microsoft's lawyers to contact them.
Yeah, right.
But the XPlay, they're expecting to have a free demo out by Christmas, and they expect the program will retail for under $40. It will allow Windows control of the iPod and able to run your iPod under Windows.
Cool.
Excellent. Sounds great. On the Windows front, shockingly, more worms, more viruses, more problems for Windows users. It's actually almost too late for this one because back a few days ago, a new computer worm named Goner was spreading quickly through corporate and personal email inboxes. This was on Tuesday, actually. It deletes system files. It certainly was clogging networks. Could be the biggest outbreak since last year's love letter virus. It's incredibly fast-moving, very dangerous. If you are not running an antivirus program, just shoot yourself in the head now and save yourself the trouble.
Badtran is another one that's floating around with that. They've just rated that one to high risk.
Right. Badtran is another one. All the latest antivirus programs and updates will catch it. So if you're not running an antivirus program, shame on you. If you are running an antivirus program and you have not updated it late this week, shame on you. So get out there and buy one or get out there and update it. It's the only way you're going to save your system. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people have been calling me and getting on the Ask Nick forum that their internet service provider's mail is slow this week. That's the reason. It's not the ISPs. They're slow because of this virus clogging mail systems.
And MSN's POP3 server went down.
Yeah.
And don't think if you're not on the internet, you don't have to worry about viruses, because viruses can come on floppy disks. They can come on CDs. Commercial shrink wrap programs have been known to have a virus on them because the disk duplicator was infected.
There was a Sega game that had a virus in it. So if you hooked your Sega up to a network, you were infecting people over the Sega.
Well, the other big mistakenly thing folks do is they say, well, I don't open any email from folks that I don't know. Well, a lot of these viruses, hello, folks, use your if you're using Outlook Express, go in and use your whole list of names in your address book and mail it out to folks. So folks are going to get emails from you with the virus.
The problem is a lot of people have fallen into the trap of if you put a blank or an incorrect address as your first address, they think they're safe. It's not true. Most of them will send out to each person in your list individually.
Yep.
So you won't stop anything from happening. Let's get to the phones now. Bruce from Henrietta, shockingly our first caller. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Someday we won't have you as our first caller.
He wasn't at first.
I know. Somebody else hung up. What's up, Bruce?
Someone hung up. Thanks. That makes me feel much better.
They wanted you to be first.
They wanted me to be first. They felt bad that they were going to be first.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you.
And a couple of things. I actually have a question, and I want to mention that it's Geek Week. And for the WHAM listeners, you should explain what a user group is. The user group that I'm responsible for, the We Do Windows, will not meet this Thursday. We're going to have a cancellation of the person making the presentation. So that gives an extra day for everyone to do shopping, if that's what they need to do, or if you're celebrating Hanukkah, since that starts Monday, I believe.
Yeah, it's early this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, but for one of the other users group that's meeting this week, I saw in their publication that they have a date as being December 13th, which is Thursday, and I believe the Rochester Computer Society, or whatever it's called this week, is meeting on Tuesday, which is the 11th, and not the 13th.
Right.
I'm not sure what the correct information is.
Right.
And the Apple Users Group is meeting on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, East High School.
Right. For
and
those
imagine,
of you... I'm sorry.
I was going to say Club Mac is probably going to be meeting Tuesday evening in Greece at the Public Works Building, I believe. Is that correct, Steve?
There was a town hall last I knew.
Town hall? Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you who are in Rochester,
the new town hall, I'm on,
and are interested in the local user groups, if you go to soundbites.org, which is our website,
if they go to wham1180.com, and
right
over on the lower left-hand side is our button.
Click on that so that Wham knows you're listening. And then once you're on our website, go down to the lower right. You'll see I heard of a website on your show. If you go there, you'll find in the list, the alphabetical list, Jack's list of user groups in Rochester, New York. Jack Greenkey, who is a crazy man, he makes contact with all the groups, puts all the information up. God bless him. And that list is available up there. So if you go there, you can get to Jack's list, and you'll know what's going on. Okie doke. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco, for Soundbites on Wham 1180.
Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, yeah, over here.
Somewhere.
Okay. I knew I was somewhere. Let's go back to the phones. We have Greg from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Greg. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Within the past couple of days, I've had trouble, or I haven't been able to download the DAT files from the McAfee website. And I'm wondering if I have a virus.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
What happens when you try?
Well, here's the symptoms. When I can get all the way to the place where you have to download the DAT file, where you click download.
Okay.
And then I get an error message that says error locating object handler. And it says there's no viewer available for the type of object you're trying to open.
It sounds like it.
Well, you can try this. If you right-click on that link and select Save, Save Target probably is going to be what it says on your system, then you should be able to save the file. The problem is, generally, you don't want to download the DAT file by itself. What you want to do is open up the McAfee console and have it download the file.
Well, okay. But, I mean, I've been able to do this forever.
Well, try right-clicking.
See, what happens is a lot of the viruses get in there, and they know that you're going to try to go and update.
Right.
So they write code that literally blocks you from going to the website to get rid of it.
Right.
It could
just be the
helper app for .exe is messed up.
Well, it's a .dat.
Now, the other thing, are you trying to, when you go to download it, are you selecting save the file or run it?
Well, I don't get that far. I mean, I can't even get to it. Normally, what I do is I save it and then I run it from my C drive. But I can't even get that far.
Try right-clicking. And then you should get one of the choices should be save target.
Okay.
And that's essentially the same thing as saying save to the hard drive when the dialog box comes
up. If you still have that problem, you know, and you can't get around it, tell you what, go ahead and email me.
Okay.
And I've got the .dat file down on my server, and I can email it back to you.
Well, actually, I was able to get the .dat files because I got them through my work computer.
Okay.
And I loaded them on, and then I did a scan of my entire machine, and there was no apparent problems.
Yeah, it is very possible, as Steve says, that the helper app has been changed. What happens is Internet Explorer, you're using Internet Explorer or Netscape?
Internet Explorer.
Okay, they're actually both do the same thing. They don't understand a lot of extensions, so they pass them off to what are called helper apps.
Okay.
So when you get a file that ends in .doc, somewhere in a little list it says, oh no, that's a Word document. Yep. Use Word to open it.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is that file has gotten either messed up or changed in some way.
Okay, is there now I've also tried to go out and update Internet Explorer, and it won't let me do that.
Well, and you've run the latest .dat files and have no virus?
That's correct.
Full scan all files.
Yeah, I've scanned everything.
The default in McAfee is only to scan documents.
Right. No, I scan the entire...
Or only applications.
Only applications. You want to do all files.
Yep, I did everything.
Okay. And what happens when you try to Well, how do you go about updating Internet Explorer? What have you tried to do?
Well, I went to the Microsoft homepage, and I tried to... Actually, I was going to go from Internet Explorer 5 to Internet Explorer 6.
Right.
And so I tried to download it, but it wouldn't let me download it.
What error message did you get?
It just, I forget. I didn't write that one down.
See, you may have two separate problems here.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit the download button and you got an error that said, for example, can't find the file, that would be a Microsoft problem.
Okay.
If you got an error message that said no space or can't find the application, or then it's your problem.
Right.
But I can't tell what the problem might be
without
that error message.
If it was the same error, then it probably is the helper app table.
Right,
which
exactly.
Is the registry
that would be,
setting. Which,
that would be messed up.
Yeah.
Then you got a registry
problem. The one key thing you can do is once you do get that error, you can then write that error down,
mm-hmm.
go over to, say, google.com,
okay.
type in that error, and it'll come back and tell you what's causing it and how to correct it.
Okay. Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. Our next caller is Rick from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Well, guys, first of all, you got to talk real slow because unlike Steve and Bruce, I don't know what a user group or a .dat file is even.
Okay.
But here's the problem. We have a virus that came through called VBS Passon, and it's telling us that our Windows Start Menu program startup, you know, that we need to quarantine it. If we do quarantine it, are we going to be able to restart our computer? Or, I mean, what's...
Will it allow you to clean it?
Actually, when I ran the antivirus, it was able to repair everything except for one file, it said. I don't know which file it is. It said it was able to repair 86 out of the 87 files that were infected.
Right. Yeah, go ahead and quarantine it.
Yep.
And, you know, that just puts it off on the safe side, see how things run, and if everything's running okay, then you can then delete it.
Well,
but if it is a Windows system file that's infected, then you quarantine it. Windows may not run.
Right. What operating system are you running?
Windows 98.
Okay, the first thing you want to do is rerun your antivirus program and write down the file that it can't change.
Okay.
Then reboot the system. If it comes up, you win. If it doesn't, you can still reboot again and select DOS-only mode.
Okay.
Then you do the same thing on another machine.
Yep.
Find that broken file on the other machine.
Right.
Copy it. It's got to be the same version of Windows.
Yep.
Copy it and put it in the same place on the broken machine.
Okay.
And then reboot. In DOS mode, you can do that. In Windows mode, you cannot.
Right. Okay. Now, in quarantine, it does seem to operate okay,
mm-hmm.
but everything is very slow. I mean, it's... And sometimes I get messages that are saying... not enough memory, and it's but my system's resource areas tell me 27% free.
Well, it could be any one of a million things. If the file that's corrupted is your swap file,
yep.
then you've got a real problem.
Uh-huh.
Well, then you've actually got a fairly simple answer. What you want to do is go into the Windows settings and change it turn off your swap file completely. Reboot, and the swap file goes away. And then you can create a new swap file, which will now be clean.
Okay.
If it's in your temp files, then again, in DOS mode, you can delete all your temp files.
Okay.
Go into the temp directory, which is probably inside Windows.
Yep.
And then delete. But without knowing which file that is, I could give you answers all day.
Okay.
But
yeah.
they're all basically the same thing. Figure out what file it is, go into DOS mode, delete it, and rerun.
Okay, so as long as I have backup files, mm-hmm. I should be able to delete the file that's infected and then reinstall it.
You got it.
And it could also depend on when you were infected, because your backups might also be infected.
Right, but if it's a system file and you have another version of Windows that is the same version, you should be able to move the file from that one to this one.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Eleanor. Welcome, Eleanor.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I certainly enjoy your programs, and I certainly appreciate the help that's available.
Our pleasure.
My problem is a computer that responds slowly, stops, takes about the printer 5 minutes to engage. And the problem is the McAfee, because I had a technician here yesterday, and when we disabled it, it runs fine. A couple weeks ago, I heard you on Channel 9 give the procedure on what to do, but I'm not very good at this.
Yeah, McAfee has a paranoid mode where it checks every single file as you open it.
Right.
It can really slow down your system.
Have you updated the DAF file?
He updated it. We're to the latest as of last night.
Okay, that's pretty much the latest.
Yeah, really.
Okay, but my computer doesn't work with it going.
What version of the McAfee are you running... What version?
5.21.
Okay, here's what you can do. Go to the start button.
Start. Okay, and now go slow, or I'm recording this.
Excellent, that's best.
All right. So
go to the start button.
Yeah.
Go to programs.
Programs, yeah.
Then you'll see the McAfee or Network Associates subdirectory.
Okay.
In there. Open that up.
Uh-huh.
And one of your choices will be Virus Console.
Okay.
Open that up.
Virus Console, yeah.
Then you'll see some little buttons. One of them will say All Files. One of them will say Documents Only.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay. It's probably set to All Files.
Yeah.
If you have a slow machine, then that will definitely slow things down. In your case, although we generally recommend that you set it to All Files all the time, if you have a very slow machine, you can set it to Program Files Only.
Program Only, okay.
And then, once a day, go into that same place I just sent you and do a thorough scan.
Okay.
There's a Scan Now button.
There's a Scan Now button.
That's on the...
And let it check everything.
Okay, and that would be checking all the files.
Right, and then go out and make a sandwich while that's happening.
That's one of the things, though, folks should consider, though, is looking into upgrading memory. Memory is starting to climb back up, folks, because...
When memory, you mean the RAM?
Yeah, the RAM.
I did. It's up to 128. It works perfectly fine. It's a fast machine without this McAfee.
Try that and let us know what happens.
Okay.
That should do it.
All right.
Okie doke.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're
welcome. Thank you so much. We're going to take just another quick break, but we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. Yes, we're back. And we don't really need to be in a chat room because we can be naked in here. It's just radio. We're going to get back to the phones in just a couple of seconds. But once more, I want to direct you to our website for a second here. Go to wham1180.com. Go to the lower left. Click on the sound bites button. And that'll take you to our website. And down in the announcements section in the middle right-hand side, you'll see a great little link to the 12 Days of Christmas. I run a website called Ask Nick, and a bunch of the members in the forums got together to put together their own geek version of the 12 Days of Christmas. And you really need to read this. It doesn't all scan, and I'm not going to sing it here, despite numerous requests to do so. But I thought you'd like to check it out. It's kind of a hoot, and the folks at Ask Nick, my members, did a great job with this. I'm very proud of them. But we're back to your phones at Sound Bites on WHAM 1180. Jerry from Penn Yan on the line. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you. I have a question about viruses. So many of them use, assume you have Outlook Express.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What if you use Hotmail instead to look at your mail?
Same. Yeah, the problem is that Hotmail and Outlook Express and Outlook itself all have links through, well, in Hotmail, they're through Internet Explorer into your system because they're all run by Microsoft.
Okay.
So it's not as safe as it could be. If you're going to use a non-Microsoft product to read your mail, let me suggest either Eudora.
Very good product.
At www.eudora.com, E-U-D-O-R-A.
But be sure you turn off the preview pane and the Outlook.
No matter what you're using, you should always turn off the preview pane, and you should turn off Microsoft Viewer in Eudora.
Okay.
And then there's another one called Pegasus at Pegasus dot something, probably com. I'll look that up. And
Netscape.
Netscape will do it as well. Again, you want to turn off the preview pane on all of these.
Or just use Pine.
Or just use Pine, absolutely.
Those Unix command prompts.
I believe Opera has mail now, but you should definitely take a look at some of the other options. I use Eudora, and it automatically blocks all of the viruses that have been out so far.
Is it easy to transfer all of the addresses I have to Eudora?
It is if you are running Outlook or Outlook Express. You run Eudora, and one of the first things it asks you is, do you want to import?
Okay, great. I'll try that.
There you go.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Our next caller on Soundbites would be Lillian from Henrietta. Welcome, Lillian. What's your question?
Well, I think it's simple, but I have Microsoft Word.
Yes.
And if I print from Excel... Oh, I have Office 2000. If I print from Excel or if I print from the Internet, my colors are fine. If I print from Word, my colors are not good. And I don't know what else to check. I've checked everything I can think of.
You're printing pictures in Word? Or
no, I'm printing writing.
Text? What, the blacks aren't as deep or...?
No, the colors are not true. It seems like there's no yellow coming through in to mix the colors.
Mm-hmm. But on the web, you can sit there and print a picture, and its colors are perfect.
Yes, and also in Excel.
There are options to print black only.
But I don't want black only.
Yeah, but you're still using...
If that's accidentally turned on, it won't print any color.
Well,
the thing is,
though,
she's using the default printer out of Windows because there's only one place because of the universal print drivers within Windows. So if it's working for one, it should work for the others.
I know it.
Yeah, if you're, in fact, using the same printer driver.
I'm using... It's all I have. But just for example, out of Word, my green... If I print it in Excel, my green is green. If I print it in Word, it's purple.
So that's
what printer do you have?
It's Canon.
See, I'm not familiar with the Canon printer driver, but there are printer drivers where you can choose...
Color matching.
But if she's not changing anything, though, versus, you know, if she's going on the web... And she's only got that one printer as her default. She goes up there.
No,
and
but Word will let you set additional defaults that are not the same as anything else.
See, I don't do that much WordPress.
Right. So what I'm thinking is that somewhere in the setup, in the print setup, there's a setting for what color matching table you're using.
Within Word.
Within Word, not if you go directly to the driver. This is separate in Word.
It could also be the paper type.
Well, I'm
a lot
try,
of the printers are designed to lay down the ink differently on different kinds of paper.
I'm using the same paper.
What Word might be thinking you have a different type.
Right. What you need to do is this. In Excel, go to the file menu, select print, and look at print setup.
Yeah.
And look at all of the screens. There's a set of tabs.
Yeah.
Look at each one. write them down or print them out or whatever you want to do, and then go to the Word, do the same thing in Word, mm-hmm. and match them. Something will be different.
It could just be, have you checked Canon's website for an update to your driver? It may just be a bug in Word, in the way their driver interacts with Word.
That's possible.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that would be, actually, that would be the first choice.
People check have problems with Microsoft?
Yeah.
Stop it. Step away from the punchline, and no one will get hurt. So the first thing, Lillian, I think that Steve is right. That's one for Steve. Write that down.
There's a couple of them.
I would check the Canon website. You can usually go right to their website and find updates for your printer.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically your printer. Don't accept any substitutes. And see what happens, and that may well be where your problem lies.
Let us know how you make out on it, though, please.
Okay.
All righty.
Love
Thank
to hear
you.
About it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Our next caller at Soundbites is Dave from Greece. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question is regarding a website. I'm trying to put together a website, just learning as I go along. And I'm using FrontPage, and when I try to interface with some databases and use, like, database results properties,
yep.
I've got it to work pretty well with Explorer. But then I try to do it through Netscape, and I get a blank screen when it should be giving me some results.
Yeah.
Any ideas of what I can do?
It's called the Microsoft conspiracy.
Yeah, it basically, it is. The thing is this. When you are using FrontPage, it is designed to work best. As Microsoft puts it, it works best with Internet Explorer. As the rest of the industry has discovered, it works pretty much exclusively with Internet Explorer.
And with IIS server. So if you're not running a Microsoft web server, it may not work.
It may
either.
Not work well. Mm-hmm. The real problem is inside FrontPage. It often does things that Netscape does not understand.
Okay.
Meaning they're not HTML standards. They're Microsoft editions.
Right. And it uses those exclusively. They're, in the newer version, there's a place to turn those off, but I do not use FrontPage, so I don't remember where it is.
I mean, there's some other great programs out there, like Coffee Cup is a one that you can download from the Internet.
Coffee Cup. Okay.
Dreamweaver and GoLive are the two big commercial
options. Yeah, Dreamweaver, those. Hot Dog is another
one. Hot Dog is another nice one. But the reality is that there are others you can try. The nice thing about FrontPage is that it has a lot of really nice little shortcuts. The problem is that you limit yourself almost exclusively, if you do anything really interesting, you limit yourself almost exclusively to Internet Explorer users.
That's what I'm finding out.
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Sorry.
All right.
I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's the way that works. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I'm using Microsoft. I got a Packard Bell.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have is if I try and download, I use Real Download.
Yeah.
Okay, and what it'll do is a screen will show up and it'll say, skins can't be found.
What can't be found?
Skins.
Okay. Have you downloaded any?
No.
There you go.
Where do I go to download them at? I've tried going to Real Download, and it's got all kinds of stuff on there, and I can't find nothing that says skins.
There is a section for skins. Also, when you're in skins, there should be a browse the web button or file menu.
How do I find the skins section?
In the Real Player?
Right.
You want to go to the Real website, use their search button, and type in the word skins.
Okay, just go
Real,
to
Real.com.
Yep, Real.com and type in the word skins.
Real.com.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We are going to take another quick break, then we're going to get some news and all kinds of exciting stuff, but we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites at 1180 WHAM.
Dave Enright and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, indeed, we are back. And before we go back to the phones, let's take a look at the poll. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll, what was your favorite streaming media client? The overwhelming favorite, 34% of the votes, Whatever It Takes. Followed, and Steve is thrilled by this, QuickTime had 24% of the votes. Real Player had 20% of the votes. Windows Media Player straggled along with 19% of the votes. And then other, for all you Linux users, had 3% of the vote.
Tony was busy.
And actually, a listener kindly emailed me last week. There is a QuickTime for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
It's at codeweaver.com. It apparently taps into the Windows side of your Linux. So it's only for Linux x86 users. But you can now run...
People
quick...
using Wine.
Yeah.
The Windows emulator for Linux.
Right.
But there is, we had 301 votes, which is a one-week record. We'd like to thank everybody. We'd also like you all to vote in this week's poll. Again, if you go to WHAM1180.com, go to the lower left, you'll see the sound bites button. Click on
that.
We've
got to get that changed.
Wait, because we have no picture.
Well, we got pictures. Oh, people can see us on our website.
That's true. They can see us on our website.
Shrink it now.
This week's poll is involved with the new theme music. If you've been following the forums, you know that we have an interesting little controversy about the theme music. So we're asking you what you think. The choices are it's great, it sucks, or who cares? So far, sucks is leading with 15 votes, but who cares has 13, is great is 5 votes, but... although sucks is leading individually, it still has fewer than half the vote. So most people either don't care or think it's great.
Good.
But give us a vote. There's only 33 votes up there so far, so please, 36 votes up there so far. Please give us your votes. And also, please sign up for the forums. And if you're going to sign up, tell us what city you're from. And also, if you're already in the forums and haven't put your city in, please do so. We're going to go back to the phones now. Frank from Gates is on the line. Welcome, Frank.
Hi,
what's
thanks
your
for
question?
Taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple XP questions.
Mm-hmm.
First off, with the two-year license deal, does that mean...
No, there is no two-year license. They dropped that.
Oh, they did?
Yep,
so
finally.
Any machines you get with it, it's good forever then?
Yeah, as long as you want it. Yeah, that was one big thing they fought over, and at last minute, they bailed out on it.
They fought it for it and fought for it and had so much controversy... They eventually dropped it.
Oh, well, that's some small good news out of Microsoft.
Yeah.
I wonder, were there any copies that made it out of Microsoft with that two-year bug in it?
Probably a lot of them. We'll be hearing about that.
We'll find out in 2 years. Yeah.
What's your second question?
Now, the other question is, when you get XP, I got a machine with it. I know you have to register it, whether mm-hmm. it's online or over a modem and that.
Right.
And part of the end-user license agreement, I thought it said it was, you know, it could transmit information back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was curious...
You actually read it? You're not supposed to do that.
Well, I knew it had a lot of little catches in it, so...
He's the one that they weren't counting
on. It's the first one I ever read. But, you know, it transmits information back and forth, and I'm curious as to, hypothetically, if I had two machines at home... running XP, and let's say I had a copy of Microsoft Office on one, and it somehow got onto the other computer. Is this information transmitted?
Well, one thing, it's going to time out on you. I mean, you have to register the product within...
No, he's talking about Office.
Office.
Two copies of XP, one copy of Office. That is illegal, and if Microsoft catches you at it, they will be a tad
and
upset.
Starting with Office 2001 Service Pack 1, you have to register Office or it will stop working. If you try to register it on a second machine, or in fact, if you have to reinstall your first machine and install your copy of Office back onto your machine again, it won't register because it already sees it registered.
Right. So, yeah, they're kind of stopping that.
That again,
on the other hand, if you want to run an Office suite that doesn't need registration, go to Star Office, www.sun.com/StarOffice. It's got a word processor, database, spreadsheet, graphics program.
We should put that
They're
on
all 100% Microsoft compatible, and it's free.
What was that website again?
Oh, all of a sudden you're interested.
Yeah.
Sun.com/StarOffice.
Okay. Well, thanks for the info, guys.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
That was Start Office. That's not going to work. We're going to go to the phones now, and our next caller is Alan from Pittsford. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
All right. In August, I got a brand-new Speedy computer, but my question's about my old one my daughter inherited.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-year-old AMD 133.
Yep.
And it's got 96 mega memory. It originally had the Windows 95 with the 16-bit FAT, and I've upgraded to Windows 98 on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got 5 years of myself and my kids loading stuff, and I want to wipe it out clean and start over again.
You sure? Can do that.
Yeah. Now, my question is, would you dare try and install Windows 2000 on it?
No.
No.
All right.
Ugh.
What is the procedure for taking it, and I have both Windows 95 and 98, and wiping it clean.
Well, what you can do is, to make life a little easier for yourself, is just copy under the CD Windows directory. There's a Windows 98 directory. Create a directory off your hard drive called Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and copy the contents of the folder off the CD in Windows 98 to this folder on your hard drive.
Yep.
You can then go ahead and do a Dell tree on the Programs folder and the Windows folder. It will wipe out both of those folders. You first do Programs. Mm-hmm. You type in at the C prompt Dell tree space PROGM TILLY 1, and it'll ask you, sure you want to delete this? It'll get rid of all that. Then you can go ahead and do a Dell tree on Windows. Get rid of all that. Now your Windows is totally gone.
Mm-hmm.
Is your Windows 98 a full install disk or an update disk?
I believe it's a full install disk.
If it was an update disk, it would then ask for your previous version you're updating from.
Well, that's why copying the CAB files to the hard drive, you'll do the install there. It does two things. One, you'll install right off the hard drive, so it's faster. Later on, when it needs files, it knows automatically where to find them because it installed them from the hard drive. If it asks you for the updated CD, you can put the Windows 95 in there if it has to verify it.
All right. One quick question.
Mm-hmm.
It originally had a 2-gig hard drive, and I've then added a second one that I had to partition into three spaces.
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be nice to have that 6-gig hard drive as the main one all as one big hard drive.
Now you're talking in, you got an F disk it. To at least F-disk it.
At that point, if that's what you're going to do, it would be much easier to make sure all your data files are copied off.
Well, everything I want's been copied. I bought a router switch, and we got Roadrunner, so I've copied everything to the new 80-gig hard drive on my new computer.
Then as long as you know everything you really want is off it, then just stick that CD in, the Windows 98 CD, if it's the full install.
Mm-hmm.
Start the system. It'll boot from there. Just tell it you want to go to the 6-gig.
But he's got to switch the hard drives around. The other was a slave, you got to switch them around. So this new big, say, 30-gig hard drive is your primary.
Mm-hmm.
And let Windows install. It'll F-disk it and everything else for you.
And then you're done.
Right off the CD.
Like a brand new machine.
Right. I don't need a floppy drive or a floppy.
Well, it depends on the BIOS on the computer. 5 years old was about the era they started being bootable from CD. You may need to make a bootable floppy disk first.
It claims, I mean, when I go to the BIOS, it says you can choose boot from CD
first. There you go.
That's the one you want.
The trick there is that with most of the machines, you have to power it down with the CD in it, and then when you power back on, it will boot from the CD. Most of the time, they don't just reboot from a CD if it's in there.
Mm. Right.
All right. So just upgrade it to 98 and don't dream that a thing like that can run 2000.
There you go.
No, never.
No.
All right.
Sorry.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Frank from Rochester. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I have Netscape 4.77, and every time I try to install Netscape 6 and run it, I get a message that says the connection was refused. When attempting to contact whatever, any URL, it's like I'm not even online. It's just it's like a dead browser.
Connection refused.
Yeah.
So far,
do you have a firewall running, zone alarm, or Norton firewall?
No.
In 6, did you set up any of the security stuff?
No.
Because that's what it sounds like has happened.
Yeah.
Either the system itself or something you did when you installed it, set it to high security, and it won't go to anywhere you haven't approved. And since you haven't approved any place, it won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
This happens with no matter what website you go to.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to soundbites.org or wham1180.com, you get the same thing.
Anything, yeah.
And is this 6.1? Or I think they're up to 6.2, aren't they?
One thing you can try doing is open a DOS prompt and type ping. Soundbites.org.
Right. There's a space in between.
Right.
Well, now, you said if you go back to 4.7, it works.
Oh, yeah, fine.
On the same machine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, okay, so the internet connection itself is working.
What it sounds like is either you've told it somehow to connect to the wrong thing. For example, you can if you have Roadrunner, you can tell it to connect to Roadrunner or to dial-up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've told it to connect to dial-up, which, of course, you're not using, it won't be able to get anywhere.
Okay, but I have AT&T. I got, you know, it's trailer dial-up.
Okay. Then I'd have to suggest that it could. The first thing I would suspect in this case is a bad install.
Okay.
Or a damaged download, one or the other, and the solution is the same in both cases.
Well, I guess this is a CD right from Netscape.
Okay, then it could still be a bad install. I would suggest you uninstall it.
Okay.
And then reinstall it and let us know what happens.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
We do kind of have to take a break at the moment.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll get back.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
We are going to take a break. We'll be back with more sound bites on WHAM 1180. Oh, yeah, they're going to hate that one. Vote in the poll.
I like that one.
Vote in the poll. It's, what do you think of the theme music?
That, what's his name? The guy that invented the synthesizer.
Oh, yeah, him.
Moog.
Yep.
No, the other guy.
The other guy? We're going to go back to the phone now. Steve rejoins the real world. We have Dave all the way from Buffalo, New York on the line. How's the snow out there, Dave?
We don't have any yet.
Good for you.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, last year Buffalo was the snowiest city in New York.
And you broke a record this year with no snow in November.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's been a while.
But, you know, summer's almost over, Dave, so get used to it. What can we do for you?
I'm wondering what really determines how fast a modem runs. Because
Shannon's limit. No, true. There's a thing called Shannon's limit, and it's this long mathematical formula which gives you a maximum of 24K.
So the trick.
Now he's speechless.
I'm stunned.
Well, in the olden days, 2400 baud modems transferred 1 bit per baud. Baud is actually a signal state transition measurement, not actual data throughput.
I love it when you talk like that.
All I know is it was justification for me to go from a 300 baud modem up to a 2400 baud
after your wife saw your phone bill.
Yep. The faster and faster modems transfer more bits per baud.
Right. They use compression to get faster than 24K.
And the other limitation can be is just your plain phone line.
Then there's the FCC copper limitation of 53K on the copper phone lines.
Well, I'm on, I use MSN Explorer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And every time I hover over the computer symbols system tray.
Right.
I mean, it'll tell me something like 29.4.
Mm-hmm.
No, 29,400.
Yeah. That has way more to do with the quality of your phone lines than it does with anything else.
So it's set somewhere where?
It's not set.
No.
Here's what happens. You got a 56K modem, right?
Right.
Here's the way a 56K modem works. It makes a connection to the other side, and then it says, okay, I'm having a little trouble talking to you. Let's slow down.
Handshaking.
They slow down. It's handshaking. It's quality of service. And it slows down until it's a clean line. And then it says, you know what? Let's get faster, see what happens. And it builds up and builds up and builds up until you start having problems again, then it drops down.
I see.
Then it says, let's get faster again. So if you go and look 2 minutes from now, it could be at 34K, and you go and look at 5 minutes from now, and it's 52K. And look at 10 minutes from now, it's 20K.
And the problem is that the little icons in Windows don't tell you your current speed. They tell you your connection speed.
Right, which means this is the speed you got at the moment you connected and has no other meaning.
Again, it's all a factor of the copper lines, going through
how many other people you're sharing that with, what's going on in the Internet itself, a million and one things.
If Buffalo is like Rochester, they're not going to come through and, rip out all this copper and put in fiber optics to everybody's home.
I'm sure that's the case.
There's a couple of shareware programs you can download. One was called Serial of Champions.
That's gotta be a Mac.
That's probably the Mac version. They might have a PC version too. But it watches your actual throughput and calculates your current throughput. See, you can do that manually, but when you point to that system tray icon, it tells you how much data has passed. If you do the math yourself, you can calculate your throughput.
Right. And the other thing is, in most cities, you will find that the phone company only guarantees you a voice grade line.
I see.
Which is not good enough for a fast internet connection.
Right.
You can certainly pay for a data grade line.
Mm-hmm.
They will be honored to take your money, but it will cost you more money.
Well, I went into the control panel and tried to up the speed, play with those numbers, and it didn't do me any good. So
nothing
I was really
you can
wondering
do about it. It is a function of the phone lines in your home, your neighborhood, to the net.
There is one thing that you can try. If you have the wrong modem type selected, it may be loading the wrong initialization string.
which could slow you down. But beyond that, there's nothing you can do.
Is 29.4 about normal for a normal phone line?
There's no such thing as a normal phone line.
Okay.
We've seen people who consistently get 54K and do the gloating dance, and then we've seen people who consistently get 14K off a 56K modem.
If you're you might seriously want to consider a product like, you know, a Roadrunner or a DSL, which will eliminate, if a lot of folks, you know, if they've got two phone lines coming in the homes, you can eliminate that. There's no more dial-up. You just click, you're there. It's a lot faster and less frustrating.
Well, okay.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Stay warm.
Stay warm. Our next caller, Joyce from Spencerport. Welcome, Joyce. What's your question?
Well, my question is, I have two computers. And they're both in separate rooms, one printer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to copy email addresses to disk on one computer and then print it out from the other computer? Because my printer is hooked up to a computer in another room.
Sure, it depends. What is your email program?
What do you mean, what is my email?
What?
Internet? Or is that what you're saying?
Outlook Express?
Outlook Express, yes.
Okay. One of the things that you can do is to export your address book.
There's an export command in the file menu.
Right. File, export, address book.
Or contacts, it might be.
Or it might be contacts.
And it might be what?
Contacts,
okay,
instead of address book. Then what you do is you have several choices of what's the best way to do it. Comma-separated variables is one choice. You may want to play around with those various choices until you get one that looks good on your other system, but you should end up with a standard text file, which you can bring into Notepad or Word or whatever you want, and print out. You can massage it if you want to, make it look prettier, but basically it'll allow you to do whatever you want.
Or even import it into Outlook Express on the other machine.
On the other machine, if you've got it on that one.
And it doesn't matter that my other machine is not hooked to the Internet.
No, not at all, because when you do an export, you're actually creating a standard text file.
Oh, I guess.
It may end in a different format, like .csv instead of .txt.
Right.
But you should still be able to open it in Word or Notepad or whatever.
The other thing you can do is set up a printer sharing network, and that
not
involves...
if she's not on the net. If she has no network connections, she
you can do a parallel sharing, too.
That's true.
It's a matter of running a wire from one computer to the other computer.
Correct. And that I know.
Yeah, yeah, and doing some setup. So either one of those things would work.
Super.
There you go.
Thank
you very much. Our next caller, Ray from Rochester. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
My next-door neighbor, I've worked with his machine quite a bit. He's got a built-in video board. It's called the SIS 630/730.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be rather popular built-in type video.
Yes, this one.
The only problem we run across, and quite often, is a lot of the programs he puts on complains that it's not certified.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it claims he doesn't even have a video board. Is there a way to get these drivers that are certified, or do they have to be certified by Microsoft and there's a place to get them? What's the workaround on this?
There are two problems here. Are you talking about games usually?
Usually some pretty high-powered games, and sometimes they'll say on the CD it has to have a Microsoft-certified video board.
Right. You have two problems here. One is that Microsoft has not certified the drivers on that video card.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is that it probably doesn't have an awful lot of memory.
And the chipsets tend to be towards the lower end because they're building it on the board.
A lot of times you can share your main memory to the video card.
Yes, this one you can share up to 64 megs.
Right, you might want to look into turning that off and purchasing, say, you know, if it's a Pentium 2, say, or greater, an AGP video card, which will give you the higher performance, higher color resolutions.
You can buy video cards, high-end ones now, for under $100. Medium-end ones, anyway, for under $100, which will be, and then you just look for the Microsoft-certified logo. If your friend is playing a lot of games, then he or she really needs the better video.
More memory on the video card.
And we've got to go now. We're going to take a quick break. The lovely music is reminding me, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, on 1180 WHAM Soundbite.
Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Get down, get funky, get up, take a shower. Okay, it's soundbite.
Wait a minute.
It's a good thing this isn't television.
I have a headset caught right
Yeah,
here.
You don't want to see what we're doing in here. Definitely, they picked this music for the poll this week. Vote on the poll.
I love it.
Go to WHAM1180.com. Go down to the lower left. There's our button, soundbites. Go to the soundbites section. Vote in the poll. Join the magnificent fun in the forums. But right now, we are back to the fun on the phones with Lori from Henrietta. Welcome, Lori.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have a friend here who downloaded
Another one of these.
Yeah,
I have a friend.
Wink, wink,
wink, wink.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't really you, Lori. Go ahead.
Anyway, his son downloaded a game onto his computer.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, we can't get out of a certain setup, and our Windows is in a safe mode, and we can't get out of it.
What you want to try to do is hopefully, if this game completed all the way, is you want it in safe mode. If you go to the Add Remove Programs, and in there, you should be able to select that program and tell it to uninstall it.
The problem is that in many of the older programs, they assumed only a certain size of video card, type of video card, and replaced the original video driver with their own. When they do that, Windows gets very confused. It says, I don't understand what just happened. Something's not right. I'm going into safe mode.
It totally chokes.
I'm in safe mode right now because I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. And that's what it did. That's what it did. It says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going into safe mode.
Okay.
So what you want to do is go into the control panel, which you can do by hitting the start button, settings, control panel, add remove programs, and then find that program that his son installed.
You have to scroll down.
You might have to scroll down to find it. They're usually alphabetically ordered. And then find it, click on it, hit the remove button. It goes away. Your system should be fine again.
One of the other things in while you're in there and doing it, if you see other programs that you really don't use or no longer want, you can also remove those and just do some general housekeeping, which you can do safely from the add remove.
Okay.
All right?
All righty.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next caller is Greg from Rochester. Welcome, Greg. What's your question?
Yes, I got a problem. I have two home computers. They used to have Roadrunner installed. Both of them are running Windows ME. And now I switch back to a dial-up internet connection. The one I could, I loaded my blue light software and was able to connect fine. And the other one, it'll dial up the internet and it connects and everything. But then I get an error that says, error, no PPP protocol configured.
What may have happened is that when Roadrunner is installed, it binds your TCP protocol onto the Ethernet card. It may have either removed it or from the dial-up adapter or removed the dial-up adapter completely. The easiest way to get around this is to reinstall dial-up networking, which I'm sure Dave will know how to do under ME.
Ah!
Don't even give me go.
Step away from the microphone, and no one will get sued.
You want to go to your network control panel make sure that the dial-up adapter is installed, and that
I'm going to start pounding.
Yeah, make sure that TCP is bound to it.
The whole system is bound
up. Are you
up.
Even still there? Greg?
Let's turn off Dave's mic.
Turn off Dave's mic. Let Steve tell you how to do this because Dave has this thing against ME.
Okay.
Rightly so, but he has this thing against ME. And we need him to step away from the mic. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Did you try to reinstall the blue light or use what was already there?
I had an old version and I deleted that and I reinstalled a newer version.
So the reinstall should have brought in the its drivers, but it may not have brought the dial-up networking drivers
no,
back.
No, ME thinks it's a Kmart
special. If you go into the control panel, get away from me.
What's that?
If you go in, not you, Dave. If you go into the control panel and you select dial-up networking.
Okay.
Do you see a connection in there?
Yeah. It's Spinway.
It's what?
Spinway.com. Is in there.
Okay.
Oh, Spinway. Isn't that the one that went bankrupt?
Yeah, well, that's not blue light.
Well, Kmart and a lot of the other free dial-up providers used to use Spinway as their modem service. Spinway went bankrupt, and then everyone had to scramble and make a new service. That could be your problem. If your blue light installer is too old, it's still using the Spinway dial-up, which doesn't exist anymore. You may have to download a new version of
what you'll have to do first is click on that Spinway and delete it.
I did that once. I went tried to get help from...
Now you need to go and get a newer version of Blue Light. You should be able to use the same disk you used on your other machine.
It is. That's the one that I tried.
Had you deleted the Had you deleted the dial-up service, that Spinway service, before you installed the new version of Blue Light?
I've done it a couple times. I know I did that at least once when I was going through the help from...
And actually deleted that that Spinway.
Yep, and then I reinstalled the 4.0 version because they thought it was the same thing, something wrong with that connection, that dial-up connection, I guess.
See, I would have thought... Okay, try this, and you got to humor me on this one. Delete it, shut the machine down, start it back up again. I mean, shut it down to down, not restart.
Okay.
Shut it down. Restart it again. See if the system finds the modem again and wants to do something with it. And then, at that point, do you have your radio on in the background?
No.
Okay. Because I sound like I'm in Ebbets Field again.
You're so good, I can hear you twice.
Exactly right. Then the next thing you want to do is, again, reinstall that Blue Light software. But now it would be a completely clean install because the other one has gone through a reboot.
And you may even need to go back further and reinstall dial-up networking into ME, uninstall and reinstall it. It might be something in ME itself and not the Blue Light software.
There's right. Your weekend planned.
Okay,
well, where do I get the new new dial-up networking software? Is that on the ME disk?
Yeah, it's on the ME disk.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll just be reinstalling it. The point is, by uninstalling it, anything that got left behind is removed.
Okay, now, did you want me to just uninstall that or delete that program from dial-up?
No, you don't
network?
Delete.
Start with deleting the Spinway program.
But he's got to go to the add remove.
Right. You want to go to
delete.
Add remove programs and remove it there.
A lot of folks go to the Explorer and just delete it, and then
you want to do it through add remove programs, and then it'll be gone.
Okay.
And then you can do a reinstall.
So I don't know if this says those. Is related or not, but I had internet connection sharing working between the two computers, and I disabled it, but I keep getting internet connection sharing errors.
That's why I think that something's not right, and that's why I want you to remove everything, reboot, and start again.
Okay. Yeah.
That ought to do it.
All right.
Okie doke.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Our next caller, Debbie from Williamson. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Hi, guys. And before I go say my question, I want to say hi to my husband who's listening to you in the car, even as we speak.
And he didn't call in. God bless him for that.
And I wanted to find out, when I go to open a PDF file, it tries to open in Word.
Yeah. That goes back to the Helper app being set wrong.
Yep.
If are you downloading it from Internet Explorer or double-clicking it on the desktop?
I'd be an Explorer and say I'm off on a site someplace and they've got a paper I need to download.
Yeah, yep. The Helper app is set wrong. You have to go into your Internet options, and there's a tab for Helper applications.
Okay, where do I find that?
Now open up your browser.
It's open.
Go to the Tools menu.
Tools.
Select Internet Options.
Internet Options.
Last tab is it?
One of the choices is
I
programs.
I have General Security
Programs. Under programs.
See, it's not.
Yes.
That's not going to do it.
Oh, what?
I think it's an advanced because you're not supposed to mess with the Helper app.
Okay, I have advanced and open in front of me then.
We're looking. Too.
It's not there.
Somewhere in that list is a selection for Helper applications, and the PDF type has been incorrectly sent to Word instead of Acrobat.
Under file associations, too, you can change.
Well, that's on the desktop, but this is the Helper application inside IE. If once the PDF is downloaded to your computer, can you double-click it on the desktop?
I haven't done that.
You might want to try that, too, because that uses a different helper list.
Okay, I have headings of security, search, printing, multimedia, Java, HTTP, and browsing and accessibility under advanced.
Tell you what, hold on for a moment.
Yeah,
while
hold
we
the
go through
phone.
A break
we're
and we'll
go
look.
Take a quick break. Do not hang up. Your husband is still listening, and he'll hear you after the break. We're going to take a quick break. This is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Here's Nick Francesco.
Okay, the big thing is we have geeks out there who are now trying to figure out a translation
literally,
formula.
Really. Calculate.
We still should have Debbie on the line.
I'm here.
And her husband in the car, who won't answer because he's not on the phone. Here's what I want you to try, Debbie. Open up any folder on your desktop or go into
Explorer,
My Computer, open up a drive, and then open up a folder. You will
okay,
see,
so I can go into my documents?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a view menu.
Yes.
In the view menu, one of the choices is folder options. You'll have three tabs across the top, one of which is file types.
Yes.
What you now need to do, and I can't help you with this because I don't have that listed on here, but you will want to find the PDF file type. And,
okay.
You can do that by clicking on each one and seeing what the extension is.
Uh-huh.
And you want to find the one that's PDF, and it'll probably say opens with Word. You will want to go into Edit and change that to
Acrobat.
Or you can just delete it, and the next time you try to open a PDF, Explorer's going to say, oh, what do you want to do with this file, and say, use this program.
And then click the Always Open with this.
Okay, so I can go into my browser and download a PDF file to my document folder.
And then it will open up in the PDF.
Right.
You
and
got
then
it.
Do it that way.
Acrobat.
And then you'll be done.
Super. Thank you, guys. You are
our
the best.
Pleasure. Thank you. That's what we like to hear.
Okay.
Thank
and
you. That, bye-bye.
That's the fourth female that has called, unlike another individual.
Step away from the microphone. I need a
we
switch to cut
we
off his mic. We've already cut him off from everything
like
else. We need to cut.
Us.
Yes, we do. Our next.
And, well, before we go back to the phones, I want to say hi to my women folk. we've been so busy at the office this week. We started to open Saturdays for the Christmas season. So I want to say hi to Jackie and Debbie listening on the radio.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Debbie.
For letting me come.
Yes.
So I don't have to work today.
God bless them for that. That's very nice. And our next caller will be Chuck from East Rochester. Welcome, Chuck. What's your question?
Gentlemen, I am a type and speak user. I think I already have lost you.
Go ahead. Well, Dave does a lot of work with that sort of stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
And along with the type and speak, I had four. I got four discs.
Okay.
And on one of them is our demonstration programs.
Mm-hmm.
Included in those demonstration programs is PC Master. Now, both I and my PC are from the Jurassic period.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I'm using an old Wang.
Oh, sure.
To talk to my type and speak.
Uh-huh.
Now, my question is there anyone who can break the counter on the PC Master demonstration program? It is good for 500 keystrokes. After the 500 keystrokes, it exits the memory.
That sounds like it's a demo limitation,
and
they want you to buy the real program if it does what you want it to.
And that's the problem, you see. I went to... I'm totally blind. I'm 74.
Mm-hmm.
I started using a computer when I was 71.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Yes.
So I called tech support from Blazy. I also called Blazy Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them has the program.
They said
it is way out of date.
Right. What you might want to do is,
I can't even find anybody on the net who might have an old copy.
Well, tell you what. Instead of using that, what you might want to do is call the Commission for the Blind and ask for Les Kriegler. Les Kriegler works up at the commission.
Yeah,
we might be able to
do the number on my type and speak.
Okay, and what they might be able to do is maybe get you set up with an older version of a program called JAWS. JAWS works with a lot of programs, and whether you're doing internet work or word processing, you can get JAWS to speak full sentences, letters, or phrases. And they might be able to get that set up for you so then you can utilize your computer a little bit better. So give Les a call, because I work with Les quite a bit, helping folks out, and we might be able to do something there for you.
Oh, that would be marvelous.
All right, so there you go.
I do use the computer, and when I'm writing, all of a sudden,
the demo's going to
memory, and then I'm.
Yeah, give Les a call. Okie doke.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think we have time for Mark from Webster. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
I have a problem with some free resources deterioration. My system.
What operating system are you running?
Windows 98.
Uh-huh.
Second edition?
I'm sorry?
Second edition?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Go ahead.
I've had 64 megabytes of SD RAM,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure out where the leak was. They suggested that I shut down as much as I could in the start program. And I did that, and then take and open and close certain programs to see where the leak was. I think it is in the browser. However, what I did was, not being able to find it, I added more SD RAM, another 128.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not going to help much.
No, I figured that adding that would do that, but it didn't.
Yeah, no, here's the problem, Mark. The RAM that's a problem mostly is a 64K area of RAM that is set aside. It's called the heap. It's where all the pointers are to all the windows that you open and close. Windows in general, but the DOS-based versions, which Windows 98 is one, in particular, have a real problem with memory leaks. Every one of their programs does it and always has. If you have a background, if you have a bunch of stuff running in the taskbar next to the clock, if you have a lot of fonts loaded, if you have a lot of icons on your desktop, those all take up system resources, leaving you less room for other things.
Okay.
As you do things, you open and close windows. The more windows you open and close, those take up memory resources. Many of them are not returned, and therefore you end up with fragmented memory, and eventually you find that the system resources get lower and lower and lower. The only thing you can do to fix that on a DOS-based version is to get rid of all the stuff on the desktop and a lot of your fonts and all the stuff running in the taskbar. If you move to an NT-based version of Windows, NT 2000 or XP, they've increased that heap space significantly, so you run into it less often.
Okay.
Not that you don't run into it, you just run into it less often. Rather than fix the problem, they made a bigger area to screw up in.
Right. It starts out at, if I shut down my virus protection on the firewall,
yeah,
it'll be at around 80%.
But that's going to continue, and I'm sorry, there's no better answer than moving to another version. And we're done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody we didn't get to. Please call next week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray for their magnificent help. Rob Linton, who kept us honest throughout the hour. We'll see you next week right back here on WHAM 1180. I'm Nick Francesco for Soundbites. God bless America.